Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise God. I feel an excitement in the air today. Praise God. Hey, how many came with an expectation of what's going to happen here today? Praise God. I was thinking about that woman with the issue of blood. She had a serious situation going on that there was no answer. She had found no answer. But when she came and she knew that Jesus was passing that way, she didn't think about, Brother Jerry, if Jesus was going to be in the healing business that day, if there was going to be a healing line. She made up in her mind that she was going to touch him and she was going to be healed. I wonder what would happen this morning if we came in here with a made-up mind that, Lord, I'm not waiting on anybody else. I'm not going to wait on a worship team to lead me in worship. I'm going to be a leader of worship. I'm going to step out from where I'm, my usual place, and I'm going to begin to worship the King of Kings in this house, because Jesus ain't going to have no choice. I'm going to touch him, hallelujah, this morning. I don't know about you, but I came with an expectation. And that's what happens. When you come with an expectation, you can expect to receive, praise God. That was a salad right there. That was my first word salad. We've heard a lot of them in the last couple of years. God is so good in the house. So good to have each and every one of y'all in the house this morning, the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. We are expecting great things to happen this morning. I don't know about you. We're in a season of Thanksgiving, and I come in here this morning with a thankful heart. Let's stand this morning as we prepare to enter into a time of worship. Praise God. You know, when those racing cars get ready to race, they don't just jump out there and start racing. They start spinning those wheels, getting those tires warmed up. Well, let's do that for a little while. Let's raise our hands this morning. Let's begin to get our hearts prepared to receive from the King of Kings this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, that we have an opportunity, oh God, to present our bodies a living sacrifice in this house today, Lord, and worship you, which is our reasonable service to serve you, Lord, and to worship you. We're so thankful, God. Hallelujah, for the privilege that we have, hallelujah, as a people. Oh, hallelujah, we worship you this morning. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you believe he's mighty in the house this morning? Praise God. We're going to ask that worship team to come in, but I don't want to wait on them to lead me in worship. I'm ready to lead worship myself today. Hallelujah. Let's worship the King this morning. Come with an expectation for the miraculous. Hallelujah.
Lord has made.
announcements made real quickly if we can. Don't forget this Wednesday, there will be no service this Wednesday as y'all prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday. Also, Tuesday, November 25th, this coming Tuesday, if you signed up, if not, there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. I think today is the last day for the items to be given away. They're going to go down to the Market Square area downtown and make some donations to those in need there in the area. So they took donations of the winter items. So if you don't have those, maybe get with who's heading that? Anyway, get with somebody in leadership, and if you got some more items you want to bring. Also, note December 4th, we're going to have a football watch party, 6:30 p.m. It's hosted by The Watch, and it says all football fans are welcome to come at 6:30 p.m. at the R.L. Meyer Center across the way. Saturday, December 6th, we're going to have Christmas banquet at 5 p.m. at the R.L. Meyer Center. Please go to the greeter's desk in the foyer to sign up and purchase those tickets. The tickets and the RSVP is required by Sunday, November the 30th. And it says those persons age 6 and up is going to be $12 cost per person. It's going to be catered food and entertainment. The entertainment is going to be provided by Bunch and Breeze. I don't know about you, I'm kind of excited about that. I've only watched them on video. We're going to get to see them in person. We've got a few people that heard their names. Praise God. And we do have some prayers that we need to take to the Lord this morning. Let's remember Dwayne Cahill. He's had a stroke. We need to lift him up in prayer this morning. Also, Butler Matthews. It's 18-year-old son of Brother Micah Morton's co-worker. Need to lift him up in prayer this morning. Also, the Wilson family has an unspoken request today. Let's also remember David Bell, Sister Kenda Covey. Let's remember her this morning. There was a request came over someone's text this morning that she needs special prayer. Let's lift her up this morning. Also, Kathy Fair, Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith, Georgia McCool. Praise God. Well, let's stand this morning as we begin to get ready to take these knees, Lord. And immediately after we pray, we're going to have the ushers come receive our offering today. But if you've got a need in the house, praise God, come to the front. We got ministers and others that will pray with you, praise God, and believe God for you to be healed or touched in whatever manner that you need this morning. We're going to open up this time for to come forward. But let's take these needs to the Lord this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that God, we have this opportunity, Lord, to come and bring these needs before you today. Lord, we know that you're a healer. Lord, we know that you are a deliverer. Lord, we just pray for each need today, God. Every name that's been mentioned, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would intervene on their behalf, God. Provide the healing that's needed, Lord. Provide the strength, oh God. Whatever the need is today, Lord, we just pray, Lord, this morning, God, that you would strengthen and touch each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We pray for the needs of this offering today, God. We pray that you bless every home and every family in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all just continue to worship the Lord. Such a sweet presence of God that's here this morning. Hallelujah.
Place. Only a great high priest would go in once a year to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. But there was a spotless lamb who left all of glory. God have mercy. And he made himself sin for you and I. And the blood that the old song said he shed one drop just for me. I thank God this morning. I pray to God we never lose the wonder of the blood. Thank God for the blood today. Thank God for that spotless lamb today. My. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Thank God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. Thank you for being in service this morning. And if you're a guest today here at the UPC of Paris, God bless you for being here this morning. And our prayer is always that you leave encouraged, blessed, uplifted, and that God would talk to your hearts. Amen. May God bless you for being here today. And I'm reading this morning just a portion of a scripture in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Scripture says, in a form of a question, for who has despised the day of small things? Who has despised the day of small things? I want to preach today with the help of the Lord on simply this topic. Don't let the little stop you. Don't let the little stop you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got what it takes. Turn to somebody else and tell them you got more than enough. No one standing there, just talk to a wall. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, God, to anoint us, speak to us. Bless us, God. Bless these sweet people here today, God. Let the Holy Ghost, I pray, anoint us, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. Clap your hands before you're seated today. God is so good. God bless you. You may be seated. We live in a society where everyone and everything is measured by how much you have. The world around us determines who is successful based off how much you have accumulated. The world, as we know it, it measures success by how affluent a person is. The world measures us or measures others by their social status, their prestige, by their titles, their awards. The world measures how much you have by your power and your influence. The world measures you by your fame and your visibility, by those who have a brand or a public persona, if you will. The world, they have a tendency to measure others by their professional success. Does that person have a good job? Is it a high-paying job? How high is their status in the career world, their titles, their promotions? The world measures success by educational credentials through degrees, prestigious schools, what school did you go to, certifications. The world even measures by what looks you have. Just take a stroll through a store and People Magazine will tell you that. They measure you by your looks, by your appearances, by your youthfulness. The world measures you by how you look and appear on social media. Just ask a person who takes 58 pictures and has 58 filters. The world measures you by stuff like that, how you present yourself. The world measures you by your network, your social connections, who you know, who you're associated with, who your social circles are. The world measures you by your productivity metrics and measurable outcomes, especially in the business world. They're going to measure you on revenue growth and number of clients, always measuring. The world even measures you by external validation, how others see you, how you compare to your peers, social comparison. I think you may agree with me that we do live in a cruel world who has no mercy. We live in a cold world where no one is really interested in how little you have, but rather how much you have. That is, until you realize that it is the little things that have got us to where we are today. We know that a drop of water by itself it much, but when you realize that the oceans are made up by a lot of drops of water, and if you get enough of them, you have an ocean. It's when you realize that a dandelion starts as one little yellow flower and it changes into a white puffball full of tiny seeds, and each seed, it's so amazing how God created these things, each seed has a little parachute and the wind carries them away, and this one dandelion can turn into many spreading across a field, illustrating to us that even though seemingly little, given the right environment, it can grow and spread on its own. You see, you and I have a tendency, I'm just as guilty, we have a tendency to only see what we don't have. We tend to focus on what's not yet there. We have a hard time getting excited over not having enough or having just enough. Our carnal minds only reward us when we feel like we've reached a certain status of more than enough. We struggle and we even lock ourselves in mental prisons over not having or feeling like we are not enough. Let's see maybe if our minds don't kind of all work the same way at different times. If I were to ask you, or if someone else here in this local assembly were to ask you to teach a small group class separate from our normal church services, and if you got to your house that night and your guests began to show up and you had 50 people show up that night, you would come out taking pictures of on Facebook. Everybody would see the entire room. It wouldn't be just zoomed in on this little, it'd be a caption, the greatest time we've ever had. God moved, God blessed. But let that same person teach a class and only about two or three show up. Won't be no Facebook post about it. Won't be no captions about it. If you ask them about it, they'll say, man, it was a small class and barely anything happened. when the fact is we ignore that little is much. Now that's not a scripture in case you didn't know, but it's a biblical principle that little is much when God is in it. I read someone say one time, the great differences between success and failure is the importance placed on little things. There is power in the little things. For you and I, it could simply be a little smile that changes somebody's day from bad to good. It could be the simple pat on the back to let somebody know I'm here for you. It could be that seemingly little phone call to someone telling them I love you and I'm praying for you that could change the entire trajectory of their life. It is the little things that really do matter. The Bible is a book full of people who had little, but because of their trust in God and his ability to take little, he turned their little into a supernatural overflowing miracle. There's a lady in the Bible by the name of Jochebed. Anyone ever heard of Jochebed? Anyone know who Jochebed is? Uh-oh, we in trouble, class. Jochebed is Moses' mother. She's a pretty important lady in the Bible. She's the mother of Moses, and in an effort to save Moses from death, the Bible says she made Moses a little basket, and she placed that little baby Moses in that little basket, and she sent him down the river trusting that God was in control. Jochebed didn't know if what she had done was truly enough or not, but she did what she could, and she put the rest in the difference maker's hands. And God took that little basket, Brother Griffith, carrying that little baby Moses, and he made sure it arrived just on time as Pharaoh's daughter was coming down to the river, and she, along with her maid, she saw this little basket that Jochebed had made, not knowing if what she had done was enough or not, but trusting that God can take what I can do and make something of it. And the Bible says when Pharaoh's daughter saw the little basket, the scripture says she had the maid go and get the basket and bring it to her. And the Bible says that when Pharaoh's daughter opened that little basket, God made sure to strike up the little emotions in Moses' body, because the Bible said when she opened the basket, there he was crying, and she, being a good lady who didn't have a hard heart against babies, she had compassion on baby Moses. And because the Lord knew how to get even to the hardened hearts of Pharaoh's people, he allowed this to happen because he understood that in my divine plan, if I can get Jochebed to trust me with little, I can do something incredible here. And the Bible even is so, God is so good at being God that he lets Moses, his mother, know that because you took little and you put it in my hands, I'm going to allow you to see the fruit of your labor. The Bible says that when Jochebed got it, she called for the child's mother and said, nurse this child until he is weaned. And the Bible said when the child grew, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. And we understand as a result of Jochebed making a little basket for a little Moses and trusting God with what she had left, that God then would take little Moses when he was fully grown at a burning bush at 80 years of age. He would let him know that he had been handpicked by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he would be the deliverer of the children of Israel from out of slavery. But it all all started with the mama taking what she could do, taking a little basket and giving God her little baby. And God took the little and he put on the biggest jailbreak in recorded human history. You look at Moses, even as a grown 80-year-old man. He has a word from God that he is the deliverer, but he still doesn't believe that God can do something great through him. And the Lord tells Moses, in essence, I know you can't speak. I know you stutter. I know you're insecure, but all I'm asking you to do, Moses, is just give me what you got. All I'm asking you to do is to give me the little. Notice the conversation that God has with his kid, Moses. The Bible says that Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. New Living Translation says it like this, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, I'm not now. And even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. So the Lord said to him, hey Moses, who is it that made man's mouth? Who makes the mute mute? Who makes the deaf deaf? Who makes the seeing blind? Have not I, the Lord, done? Don't you know I'm aware of your insignificance, Moses? Don't you know I'm aware that all you got's little? In verse 12, the Lord says, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. In other words, stop telling me what you don't have. Stop telling me about the little and just trust me to be more than enough for what you need. Amen. Notice how the Lord works with Moses. And in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, the Lord told Moses, hey Moses, he said, what's that in your hand? He said, well, it's a rod. And knowing Moses by now, we understand that Moses was no doubt thinking, well, all I got's just a little rod. I've been carrying this thing around forever. But what Moses did not realize was that that little rod he had been carrying around was going to be what God used as a tool to deliver the nation of Israel. For it was the rod that God told Moses to throw down in Pharaoh's court. And scripture says it turned to a serpent. The magicians of Pharaoh, they also threw down their rods and they turned into serpents. But the Bible lets us know that Moses' rod ate up the other serpents. It was this little rod that over and over God would tell his man Moses to stretch forth your rod and plagues would come upon the land of Egypt. It was this little rod that God would tell Moses to stretch over a Red Sea and the waters would part. And he would tell Moses at the end to stretch forth his rod again over the Red Sea and they would come back crushing the enemy. It was Moses who learned a valuable lesson, and that was don't let the little stop you when God is in it. He can take what seems insignificant and use it to deliver an entire nation. Now I know, I understand the rod had zero power. The rod had no power, but it was the God of the rod who spoke to a man who was finally willing to listen and to obey him and say, in essence, I don't understand it all, but I've learned one thing. When God is in it, don't let the little stop you. It's a simple message today, but I felt to preach this and tell someone today, if you'll stop worrying about what you don't have and just give God what you do have, that's gonna make all the difference. You see, Brad Davis, I worry sometimes about what I don't have. If I could just speak like this, then that would happen. If I could just be like that person, then man, doors would open all over the place. And the Lord says, hey Brad, why don't you just give me what you got and that's enough. I did not ask you for what you didn't have. I asked you, what do you have? And if you'll give me what you do have, you'll see in the end it was only God who could do this, and nobody can get the glory but Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's never been about you. It's never been about me. Don't let the little stop. Yeah, man. Anybody besides me ever told God what you didn't have? It's okay to be honest. Amen. It's okay to talk in church. Just don't act crazy. Amen. Unless it's for the Lord. Amen. But I many times have complained to the Lord about what I didn't have, what I thought he should give me. You know, it's kind of like helping God out. Anybody ever try to help God out? We're getting more honest, amen. We've tried letting God know. Now, God, if you just give me this gift, God, I'll tear this place up. If I just had this ability, man, I'd wreck this city. There'd be so much revival. They'd have to tell me to slow down. Now, I'm just the messenger today, all right? But I felt like the Lord sent me to preach somebody out of your excuses today. Because you've lined the walls of your mind with what you can't do. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up in this room. Woo! You've lined the walls of your mind trying to tell God why you don't have what it takes, why it's not enough. And the Lord sent this 39-year-old preacher to ask you, what do you have? Do you have anything to give? Is there anything left? Well, God, I got this little bit. And it's the Bible because it blows my mind. Man, when I read this scripture some 15 years ago and it just went off in my brain, when the Bible says that if you can have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be removed, and it'll be gone to yonder place. And I thought, my God, if one seed can do that, what in God's name can 25 seeds? And if we get about 100 seeds here today to move in faith, there ain't no telling what God can do. All God wants to know is, what do you have left? And if you'll give God what you have left, God's going to take what you got and take something and make something great and mighty out of you. I think we can clap our hands for that right now. You know, the hardest thing for us to do is trust God. Say that again. Hardest thing for me to do is trust God. Now, I can trust God when all is well, but it's when everything's going to appear, you know what. And then the voice says, you still going to trust him? Then the voice says, yeah, he stripped some things from you, and all you got left's a little bit. Are you going to trust him now? You see, trust means a whole lot more when you're going through the valley than when you're on top of the mountain, everything is right. Trust comes out when everyone's turned their back on you. Trust comes out when the family wrote you off. Trust says, God, I don't understand it, Lord. All I got left is a little, but what I got, I give to you, because you'll take what I have and you'll make all the difference. I'm telling someone right now, if you'll just give God what you've got left, preacher, you don't understand. I've about lost my mind. I know where you are. I've been there for many years when depression wrecked my mind. But God gave me more than enough grace to make it today. God gave me more than enough grace when I would have blew my brains out some 13 years ago. God gave me grace. God gave me mercy and said, Brad, just give me what you got. And if you'll give me what you got, that's going to be enough. Remember that guy in the Bible? His name's Jeremiah. I remember him. The Bible calls him a weeping prophet. He had probably the hardest job in the Bible. Everywhere he went was doom and gloom. I mean, he prophesied judgment all the time. He even tried convincing them, why don't you just go ahead and surrender to the Babylonians, because that's the will of God for your life. You've sinned, you've been judged by God, he's come out against you. And finally at the end, he does offer some hope that God's going to restore you, God's going to bring you back. But what we don't understand is that long before he ever issued any of these prophecies, when God called Jeremiah, who would be a mighty man of God, when God called him, he didn't feel mighty. When God called Jeremiah, he didn't have the grit to stand up and declare the word of the Lord to a rebelling, unrighteous nation. Watch this conversation with God and the future mighty Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremiah says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And here it goes. Jeremiah feels like he don't have much. Verse 6, Jeremiah says this, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak." And then he goes on and says, "I'm too young." In other words, call somebody else. In other words, don't you realize I don't have the prestige? Don't you realize I don't have the education? Don't you realize no one knows my last name? Notice what God says. I love God. God fires me up. But the Lord said, "Do not say I'm too young." He said, "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." Here we go. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." God said, "Jeremiah, just give me what you got. I know you're young. I know you feel like you can't speak. I know you feel like you ain't got what it takes. That's why I called you. I didn't call the cocky, arrogant, thinks he knows it all person. I called you, Jeremiah, because you feel like you ain't got it together. And you realize I've got to depend on the Lord to make a way for me, Jeremiah. That's why I called you." Hear me, somebody, right now. I'm telling you, you've given God all the excuses and God's tired of it. God said, "Just give me what you got. I'm with you. I'll go with you. I'll be with you." Abraham said it best after God provided a ram and a bush as a sacrifice on top of Mount Moriah instead of his son Isaac, when he said, Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, which simply means the Lord will provide. It means that on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I felt this morning, and I want to tell someone right now, if you'll move in faith with God and if you'll climb the mountain, when you get to the top of it, it will not be empty and barren, but on top of the mountain there will be a ram in the bush. As a matter of fact, while you were walking up this side of the mountain, there was a ram walking up the other side of the mountain, because God has something in your life that's going to be a divine intervention. God help me right now. It's going to be a divine intervention, and when it intersects, you'll realize it wasn't nothing but Jesus that put this thing together. When it comes together, you'll realize, thanks be to God, I didn't listen to my flesh. I listened to the Holy Ghost. Hear me, somebody, right now. You're worried about how. Just let God worry about the details. Just let God be God. Don't let the little stop you. Lord, all I have is a small business idea. But I can't, let me just, I held it right here. Now, some folks don't think that God can bless church people. Now, I don't have time to teach this today, because you'll think I'm a prosperity gospel preacher, and I'm not, but you think what you want to think. But you hear me, God can bless his people. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, but I got a point for the method of my madness. But all my life, I heard stories, and I thank God for these stories. I've been the recipient of these stories as well. God, I need you to provide some things today. I've told you the story. I needed some thousands of dollars some years ago. Standing in the front yard, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Don't leave from the front yard." A man drove by on a tractor. He said, "When he comes back by in a little while, he'll have some money for you." I ain't lying. I stayed and played basketball. I made up my mind I'll stay there for 12 hours if need be, God, till he comes back by. And he came back by about 30 minutes later, and I was playing basketball with Jathan. He stopped, got off his tractor, walked over to me, handed me $3,000. That's when I knew, if God says it, just listen. God knows what he's doing. But what I'm telling you is this: I've been on that end, but I'm also going to tell you, it is the will of God for me to be the one and for you to be the one that God provides to be able to bless somebody else.
You're not hearing me. We think it's holy and godly if we somehow don't have it. No, it is the will of God for God's people to be blessed. I'm not talking about rich and arrogant. I'm talking about prospering and giving back to God what belongs to His. That is the will of God. So I'll say it again. Lord, I have a business idea. I don't know what to do with it. I'm going to tell you what I feel. If you'll just give God what you got, God will take the rest of it and He'll make up the difference. I'm not saying being stupid. You use wisdom, be a good steward. But if you'll do the little, God's going to bless it. God's going to open it up. God's going to pour, hallelujah. God's going to break down walls you never dreamed possible. Why? Because you stepped out in faith.
People who've always wanted to step out and teach and lead and be a part, but that they were afraid that they couldn't talk like so-and-so. They couldn't lead like so-and-so and so-and-so. And I don't have the voice for that, and I don't have the ability for that. Well, what do you have? All I have is little. Well, that's good. That's where God starts. As a matter of fact, He does even better work with nothing. I've seen people walk in churches who had nothing, it seemed like, to give God but a life full of regrets, pains, drugs, alcohol, addictions to prescription drugs, all kinds of mess. And the Lord in that service said, I've been waiting on you. I've just been waiting for you to give me what you got. God, all I got's a broken life. Good. I specialize in putting broken people back together. All I got is a broken mind. Good. I specialize in putting broken minds back together. God, all I feel is worthless. Good. I can make you whole again. I can put joy, hear me somebody right now. I can put joy back in your soul again. I can put peace back in your mind again. I can put stability back in your home again. Just give me what you got. Just give me what you got. Stop trying to figure it all out. Stop trying to analyze God and just trust God.
The Lord wants to change your viewpoint off from what you don't have to what you do have. You study scripture, Samson was called to be a judge for the nation of Israel. Samson had a mighty anointing on his life, a special anointing, a God-called anointing on his life. And God spoke to his parents as a boy that he would someday be a part of God's great workings within the nation of Israel. And this young man would see supernatural things happen through God-given strength. And at different times, God would use him to attack the enemy. But the Bible says something in Judges chapter 15 that's always fired me up. The Bible said that Samson found himself in need of a miracle. And you watch how God uses the little to bring about a great victory against the enemy. The Bible says when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And the Bible says he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He reached out his hand, the Bible said. He took it, and the Bible says with that little bitty thing, he killed 1,000 with it. It was in that moment of desperation that he understood, all I can do in these types of moments is just use what I got. All I can do in these types of moments is just use what I have, and let's see if God won't make up the difference. We know the story of David. It's Sunday school, but it's good to be reminded. We understand David just had a sling by his side, but we understood that when he trusted God with what he had, God took the rest, and God gave Israel great victory that day. You have to understand that God has never worked with much. He's always worked with little. But if you'll give God the little today, if you'll give God what you got today, God's going to make up the difference in your family. God's going to make up the difference in your home. God will make up the difference on your job. God will bless your business. God will bless you today if you'll learn the value of don't put limits on God. Trust God.
Bible says that Elijah went to a widow at Zarephath
And God commanded Elijah to go, and he would sustain him there. He gets to her house, and he tells her, bring me something to eat. And she said, Lord, as the Lord God lives, I don't have bread. All I got's a handful of flour. All I got's a little bit of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And me and my boy, we're going to eat this, man of God, and we're going to die. Now, you would think the preacher would say, okay, that's good. I'll be on my way. But the preacher seemed very mean that day. The preacher said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Bake me a cake first. Who do you think you are, preacher? Did you not get the news flash? We're going to die after we feed ourselves. We ain't got enough food to feed you, preacher. He said, bring it to me, and after you make my cake, go ahead and make you and your boy something to eat too. Now, the math ain't nothing. All right? Handful of flour, just enough to feed me and my boy, and we die. And the preacher says, cool, fix me a meal first. Hear me. But because of her obedience to the word, faith mixed with obedience always produces supernatural results. And when she mixed her faith with obedience and she did what she knew to do, the Bible says the Lord spoke to her and said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day of the Lord that sendeth rain upon the earth. And here it is, the miracle of provision again worked through obedience. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days on a little flour. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. Hear me, somebody. All you need is a word from the Lord that if you'll just use what you got, that's going to be enough. If you'll just step out in faith, that's going to be enough.
Don't let the little stop you. Closing, the Bible says that servant of Elijah, they've been needing rain for 3.5 years. Only problem was the prophet had spoken and God honored his word that it wouldn't rain until he said so. And the Bible says it came time for a rainstorm. That prophet of God, he spoke to that young man, and Jen and I have stood there on top of that mountain back in 2017, and I was blown away because you could barely see the sea from where that boy was looking that day. And the Bible said 6 times he went, but on the 7th time when he got back, he said the words. I promise you, he didn't say it in faith, because he came back and said, all I see is a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And I'm pretty sure he dropped his head to walk away, Brother Martin. And the prophet said, you better get up and eat. It's time to go. You better tell Ahab to get off this mountain. Rain's coming. And the Bible said, while they were preparing, hear me, while they were preparing to go, that the heavens were darkened with clouds and a great rainstorm fell. And God got on that prophet Elijah, and he would have outran Usain Bolt in the 40-yard dash. The Bible said he outran that chariot and horse all the way back down the hill. Why? Because he understood, if God gives you a little bit of glimpse of what's coming, you best get up and move. If God said, don't let the little stop you, well then why are you still sitting there? Why are you still waiting on God? God said, move with me. Go with me. Don't let the little stop you.
I've said this before, but I just feel it this morning, just to increase somebody's faith. And if I've said it, just act like I didn't say it, all right? I said it Wednesday night. We sing the same song 480 times, and nobody gets mad about that. All right? So I'm going to preach the same story again. That all right? If you don't like it, don't tell me about it. Just go talk to a tree somewhere. Amen. I never will forget, Jen and I, we hadn't been in Dayzetta very long. And when I say we's broke, we didn't have hardly any money. We didn't have no retirement, didn't have no money. I had $3,000 to my name in the savings account. You ain't supposed to touch stuff like that, right? That's what Dave Ramsey says. But Dave wasn't there that day. We were at a church in College Station, and they were building a new church. Very small church. Powerful church now, but at the time, very small. I never forget Brother Darren. We were asked to sing at camp meeting. We were there for practice. We were leaving from practice and singing. As I was walking down the center aisle, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "I want you to give $1,000 to his church and give $1,000 to him personally." And I thought, "You gotta be kidding." Right? And I thought to myself, "I will not tell Jenna. I'll just go get the checkbook and write the check. And I'll tell her later." Thank God, I'm not lying. I went, snuck in, got the checkbook out of her purse, wrote the check, said, "Man of God, the Lord said, thousands for you, thousands for your church. God bless you." We're leaving College Station. And I say, "I just need to tell you something. I want you to know that I just gave $2,000 to that preacher over there, and $1,000 to his church, $1,000 to him." And Jenna being Jenna said, "Well, okay, if the Lord said do it, okay." And I thought, well, crazy. She's probably thinking all kinds of Christian curse words in her brain right now. But she wasn't all right. No, never. That was on a Friday. I'm fishing at Sam Rayburn on Monday, me and my dad. Get a phone call from a businessman in our town. He said, "I need to see you at my office." And I thought, I better get back fast as I can. So I get in the truck. I said, "Dad, let's you and I run to Dayzetta, and we'll come back to Jasper later this evening." And I walk in the man's office. And he said, "Hey," he said, "I knew you wanted to buy some land a while back over here." He said, "You still want that property?" I said, "No, sir, that deal fell through. We're not going to buy that." He said, "Oh," he said, "that's okay." He said, "I already wrote the check." I said, "No, I don't need them. I don't want the money. That's your money." He said, "No, no." He said, "I've learned the law of the harvest. When we sow, God's going to give back." And he slid me a check. And when I opened the check, remember, I gave $2,000 on Saturday. And I stood there stunned because the check was for $27,000. And I learned a principle in that moment that if you'll do what God says, and I'm not talking about just money, but anything, if you'll move with the little, God will always come back and give you, if need be, 5, 10, 20, 100-fold. What I'm trying to tell you is this: stop telling God what you can't do and just give God what you got. And if you'll give God what you got, he will take care of the rest. Tell you story after story after story. That stuff happened to us all the time. I guess God thought these poor kids, they need help all the time. I'm telling the truth. I can tell you another time I was at the church praying, said, "Lord, we need money in this church. It ain't right. It ain't fair. I need some more money," because we had bills to pay. And an old 90-something-year-old saint of God called me and said, "Pastor Davis, I was praying this morning, and I just want you to know that God is going to take care of everything, every promise he ever spoke. It's going to come to pass." I received that word the next morning. Another man came to my church and handed us a check for $15,000 for the church. It let me know again that God is in control. God's got your back. God's got it all together. Don't let the little stop you. Everybody all right? You got one more story and I'll hush it up. All right. This is a true story. If I'm lying, I'm down. The Tony Koppel, great pastor from California, was visiting our church one year. He was a mentor to me in a season in my life and really helped us. And we were thinking about building a house, and he came through to see us. He's a very astute man, very steward, has great stewardship. He's just one of these guys. I said, "Brother Koppel, we're going to build a house." He said, "No, if I was you, I wouldn't do that." I said, "Well, bless God." He said, "That's too much money. You can't afford that." I thought, "Well, you're probably right, but I don't want to hear that." He said, "Just buy you an older house." Now, I wanted to tell him that, "Bro, you're in Dayzetta, Texas. 969 people. Ain't nobody just getting rid of houses around here. And if they do, they're horrible." He said, "No, you just buy you a house." I said, "God will open it up. When he does, you just buy you a house." I said, "All right." So I told you, and I said, "Listen, bro, we got to buy a house. We need to do this." And little did I know, a couple of days later, the house we ended up buying ended up coming open. But in the process of that, while we were waiting, I said, "Why don't we just start saving money monthly as if we're saving for a mortgage?" And I was one day at the church praying, and I'm weird sometimes. Now, she may have thought ahead of time, "Did God tell you that, or was that you?" And I don't know, but that day I think God told me. I said, "Man, what if we just started giving mortgage, but started giving it to missions? Let's just act like it's mortgage, but we'll pay X amount of dollars to missions every month instead of saving for our mortgage to be." He said, "Okay." We're about 6 months in, right? 6 months in doing this every month. And I'm at the church praying again. I was about right over here. And I was complaining to God about what I didn't have. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me these words: why don't you stop complaining and start praising? I thought, bless God. So I went to jumping around. I'm not sure how serious it was that day, but I was trying. I jumped around, praise the Lord. I walked about over here, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me, never has before, again, or since. He said, now what do you want? I said, good God, if he's asking, I'm telling. I said, I want a 4-bedroom house. I want an in-ground pool in the backyard. I said, that'd be great to have, God. Little did I know that week we'd be having dinner that night. And they said, hey, did you know this house came for sale up over here? I said, no, I didn't know that. And they said, well, you need to go check this house up and check this house out. I said, well, we got to have this money. God already told me, start praising him, stop complaining. I needed a large down payment, didn't have the money that I needed to have. And I said, God, so I started praising. When saw the house the first time, I only saw 3 bedrooms. I thought, well, good God, this ain't what I prayed for. But I told Jen, I said, let's just go give it a chance and look at it. Went back again with her, and for whatever reason, the guy said, God, I forgot to show you that 4th bedroom. I thought, well, here we go. Walked in the backyard, and would you know, it was an old, dirty, in-ground pool, but it's what I prayed for. 2 days later, I'm at the church. I'm not lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. A businessman calls me and says, I need to come see you. He stopped by the church. He said, me and my brother want to give you some money towards your house. Here's you a check for $20,000. I learned my thing again. If all you got's left to praise, just give God praise. If all you got's left worship, just give God worship. Don't let the little stop you. Come on, somebody. God wants to increase your faith today. You're putting limitations on God. God's got you in the palm of his hands. Just trust God. You ready for this? We used to, now. Oh, hush. This is crazy. I was serving on the Texas District Youth Committee. We was trying to raise money to go to the Smoky Mountains. We had $800 saved. I was sitting in the youth committee room, Brother Jordan Grindle was still youth president. And of course, they came in there. I don't know why they did this to a bunch of young youth guys. And the guy came in there talking about giving to missionaries. I thought, man, don't you know we're all broke? Don't you know, man, we ain't got a lot of money. And I was sitting there and I thought, I'm weird. I thought, I got the $800. Maybe we can go to, maybe I'll tell Jenna later. I'll give this $800 to missions. And I did. And it wasn't funny then. But I was boo-hooing that day in the class, just crying, giving God my little. That was about September. In December, we're at the church. We had a media music praise dinner, whatever. And our music director, Sister Kim Hart, she said, why don't you write down places you'd love to go sometime? This just shows you how God takes even small things. And I didn't know, she didn't know, I put on there, I'd love to go on a trip to the nation of Israel. She put it, I put it, we didn't know. About a month later, a man, it's weird, calls me and says, hey, how would you like to go to Israel? I thought, oh my God, we're going from the Smoky Mountain to the Holy Land. And I realized, hear me again, that's something goofy, something small. But God took that little bit of money, $800 for the Smoky Mountains. It was a lot of money to us. But God said, I can take that money. It would have cost us $7,000, $8,000 probably to go to the Holy Land. But the Lord said, I can see way ahead. If you'll just give me what you got now, I can, oh God, I feel it, Brother Darren. You hear me in the Holy Ghost. God's going to open doors for you that's going to blow your mind. God said, don't let the little stop you. Don't let the little stop what he's trying to do. God will make a way for you. God have mercy. Somebody stand up right now. Let's just give God praise right now. God's a way maker. God's a miracle worker. God's gonna make a way for you. Woo. My, come on, praise God. Jesus said, he that is faithful in which is least is faithful also in much. To whom much is given, much is required. But don't let the little stop you. Don't let the fear of stepping out and trusting God stop you. Don't let the fear of I ain't got those gifts stop you from being what God has called you to be. How do I know it's the Lord speaking? How can I tell this is a desire? I'm going to tell you something quickly. It's a very short version. There's a longer version, no doubt. But the Bible says that God, he will give you. We always preach this verse wrong, that God will give you the desires of your heart. Again, that does not mean a Mercedes in the garage in a house somewhere on the Caribbean. That's not what it means. But God will give you desires. God may give you a desire to teach a Sunday school class. God may give you a desire to be a cheerful giver. God may give you a desire to sing. God may give you a desire to step out and start a business. He said God is the one giving that. And when you can't escape it, it must be the Lord trying to talk and tell you, why don't you step out and don't let the little stop you.
He took two fish, five loaves. We know what happened. 5,000 people later are eating a pretty good meal at the fish fry. Pretty cool, Brother Calico. Man, that don't make no sense. How does God take little and make much? It's always the same way. Obedience. Faith. Everyone said move with God. That was about 20 of you. Everybody said move with God. Don't doubt the Lord. Move with God. I've learned in my short 39 years that if God says it, I best not think about it more than 5 seconds. Because I'll talk myself out of a miracle. I've talked myself out of, God knows how many things I've talked myself out of, trying to convince myself it wasn't the Lord. And the whole time it was God trying to say, if you just move in faith, if you just trust me on this one, I've got you. I end with a verse. I preached it here a couple weeks ago. I said it twice, but I end with this today. Guy in the scripture, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Remember that guy? The guy with 5, double, 2, double, or 3, whatever it was. And the guy with 1, what'd he do? What'd he do?
He hid it.
He let the little become a prison. And the Bible says he took what he had left and he went and buried it in the ground. Anyone know what happened next? The Bible says the man came back, which is a type and shadow of the Lord himself. God comes back walking. He sees the guy, Brother Weiss, that had 5, 2, and he did what he was supposed to do, and God blessed him. And then he sees this cat with just 1. What'd you do with it, God? Man, I gave you this talent. What'd you do with it? Watch what he says. I knew you were a hard man. Now, when I read this about 3 weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, it messed me up because it was the first time in my life I ever saw this. I always thought he hid the talent because he didn't have much. That's only half truth. The other truth is this. Somewhere in that man's life, he got a wrong perception and a wrong view of who God was. These other two guys didn't see him as hard. But this one man, something happened in his past. Someone said something over his life. An abusive situation happened. Daddy walked out and left him. And now their view of God has changed. He's a hard man. He's here to hurt me. I may say this. Sometimes I probably preach too much about me, but I don't care. I'll just preach about me. I have been guilty over the years of thinking that God was out to get me. Because of some words that were spoken years ago over my life that put a fear in me that was not from the Lord. Oh God, I feel the help of the Lord here tonight. God does not, I said it 2 weeks ago, God does not operate in fear. God, I don't believe in these cats that go around, and I'm careful what I'm about to say, but you hear what I'm telling you. There is submission to a pastor, and then there's willful, and there's blindful submission. We ain't talking about stupid stuff. God never hurts the sheep. God never uses the gifts of the Spirit to hurt the body. If it's not edifying the body, it's not of God. I don't care who they are, what they say they are. They ain't heard from the Lord. Amen. I am a
a testimony of 12 years. I had to come out from under a heavy load of words that were spoken that almost wrecked me, that caused my depression, that caused suicide. And now I look back and realize what they said never came to pass, but it almost killed me, and it caused my view of God to change. And now when I'd pray, I was afraid God was out to get me. I was afraid God was going to strike me dead. I was afraid God was going to hurt my family. Hello? That's weird. You're a preacher. I know I was a preacher, but you don't know what the power of words can do. I don't care who they are. They've not heard from the Lord if it's not edifying the body. I'm not saying God can't send warnings. God will send a warning sometimes, but God does not move in fear. God always moves in love and conviction. Conviction always draws you in. Condemnation always pushes you away. If it's pushing you, if it's tormenting you, the Lord didn't say it, and the Lord wants to break that mess off of your mind right now because you've been so afraid to trust God again. But he's telling me to tell you, just trust me again with what you've got. I've got you in the palm of your hands. I thank God today for every minister, every pastor, every friend he ever put in my life over a 12-year period that helped me to walk out of a valley. But what scares me the most is this man here again. Somewhere in his life, my sister, his view of God changed. And the Lord wants to change someone's view this morning back to realizing, I'm for you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to judge you today. I'm not here to push you down today. You've been, oh God, you've been pushed down and pushed down. You've been talked down to, and the Lord ain't said it. That's a false prophet, and they're a liar sent from hell. God sent this preacher to tell you, I want to rise you above all that mess that's been trying to cripple your spirit, that's been trying to cripple your mind. And I know all you got left is hurt, pain, all these questions. But God said, if you'll give me what you got, it's a cute cliche, but it's truth. I can straighten the question mark into an exclamation point. And in the end, you're going to realize, man, only God could do this. Only the Lord could take a broken, drunk man and turn him into a powerful man of God. Only the Lord could take someone who was wasted, messed up, and bruised and put them back together. I'm a product today of God's mercy. I end with this. I feel to say this, and I'm done. When I tell you that God will reach for you to the very end, that is an understatement. 4 years ago, my father-in-law were driving to Beaumont to go take my boy to a trampoline house. A lady in our church, an older lady, Sister Pearl Tanner, I've told some stories about the miracles God did for her. She was real sick with COVID, and we were driving to Beaumont, and I found out she was in the hospital, and I went to call her. And when I called her, a man answered the phone, and he hung up. And I thought, well, typically, me and my weird introvert self, I ain't calling you back. But I felt, you need to call the man back. I'm like, ah, God. So I called him back, and he answered. Hey, Brother Davis, I've heard all about you. I said, oh, my God, who are you? He said, I'm Pearl's husband. Now, he ain't been in church in probably 18, 20 years, backslider. I'm Pearl's husband, and she left her phone here at the house. I said, oh, okay. He began telling me his life story. I'd heard horrible things about the man. Very abusive husband. His wife was an absolute dynamite prayer warrior, apostolic. The miracles God showed her was apostolic. Pastor Jordan, my great uncle's told me stories. Fell off the porch one day, bone sticking through the leg. He came to the house, laid hands on her leg, and instantaneously the bone was back in the leg. Just God showed her miracle after miracle after miracle. But she went through the pits of hell. Her husband one time beat her so bad they found her walking stunned on the side of the highway. He had beat her almost mercilessly. That day I'm talking to this man. All this is going through my brain. Sister Kyra, this guy's crazy. He's hurt her. He doesn't deserve God, right? But I'm thinking. And we get to the end. He said, but Davis, he said to me, my back's bad. He said, I'm going blind. And I felt it. I said, Brother Tanner, I said, why don't we just pray right quick? And I've said it different times. I've never heard a grown man cry like that grown man cried that day. Spirit of brokenness, repentance. He was a backslider, had the Holy Ghost years ago, but went away from God. The Holy Ghost fell on that man on that phone call, touched him mightily. hang the phone up. We go to Beaumont, get a phone call the next afternoon. They said, "Brother Davis," he said, "remember that guy you talked to last night?" I knew I talked to him. Yeah. They said, "yesterday morning, he was sitting in his recliner and he reached for his remote and he fell dead out of his recliner." And I thought to myself, oh God, even to the end, mercy was saying, if I can just get a little bit out of him. And I'm thankful today. I preached his funeral, a man I'd never seen until I saw him in a casket. And I preached a message entitled "A Picture of Mercy," because that's what mercy looks like. And I saw it in that moment. What a God we serve. I wrote him off. Lots of people wrote the man off. But God said, if I can just get Tanner to give me a little bit of worship again, I can restore him again. I was so thankful. At his funeral, his wife was there, hurt, broken, crying. But all those years, she said, "Pray for my husband. God will save him." What is that? That's a woman who never left her trust, lost her trust in God. She kept on God, giving God the little, giving God the little. And God gave a harvest in the end. I'm telling you today, what you got left, it's enough. What you got left to give is enough. I don't care how broken you are, how far you feel from God right now, how wasted you feel, how your mind feels like it's running 1,000 miles an hour. I've been there too, my friend. But I kept on giving God my little. And I began to see God, even since I've been in Paris, God began to restore things back. Why? Because God is always working. And some of you didn't realize it, that God was working in your midnight hour, that God was moving pieces around. God was moving different people here, people there, moving people out of your life. You didn't even know about this stuff. But God was on the work, on working for your behalf. Let's pray, Lord. I love you so much. God, I thank you for this great church today. I thank you, Lord, for all these believers who have gathered together, Lord. So many people today, God, are fighting. I don't have enough. Am I enough? Come on, I want to talk to somebody. I've preached it for about 3 weeks now. Your insecurity has eaten you alive, and you feel like, I'm so insecure, God. I don't have nothing to give. Yes, you do. God's put his hand on you. God's got purpose on your life. God wants to help you today. If you can just somehow reach out in faith and say, God, I give you my praise. I give you this little, God. I refuse to hide anymore, God. I've accused you, God, of being everything you're not, God. You're not a hard man. You don't hate me, Jesus. You're not against me, Lord. You're not trying to punish me, God. You love me with a never-ending love. You told David, Lord, if I make my bed in hell, I'm already there when you're there. If I ascend to the highest of heights, I'm already there when you get there, David. Wherever you go, I've been there this whole time. You thought you were running, but you weren't running from God. He was always there when you got there. These altars are open today. I want us to come, and if you feel comfortable coming to the altar, if not, you can stay in your pew. But if you're a part of the UPC of Paris, I think it's good for all of us to come to the altar when there's an altar call. Let's just pray. Let's just ask the Lord, God, give me strength today. Come on, just praise the Lord. You may not be going through anything right now. That's okay. But if you are, I challenge you. Just give God what you got left. Just give God the praise you got today. I give you my little, God. 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 Oh, woo. Come on, somebody.
Everything.
Come on, somebody. I give you everything, Jesus. I give you everything, Lord. I give you everything. I give you my little. 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 God, I give you everything I got left, Jesus. I give you all the broken pieces. Come on, somebody. I give you all the broken pieces. I give you all the broken pieces, God.
Everything I have.
I give you all my pain. I give you all my pain. Somebody, he loves you. He loved you so much today. He loved you so much today. He's been reaching for you all this time. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. I pray touch, oh God, today. I pray touch, oh God.
I surrender all.
us. Find somebody. If it's your spouse, that's fine. If your spouse isn't here, if you don't have a spouse, find somebody and link up arms right now. Let's pray for one another today. Come on, there's people in this room today. They've got nothing left to give. They need a brother and a sister. Come alongside them right now. Come on, pray a prayer of blessing over your brother right now. Pray a prayer of blessing over your spouse right now. Pray a prayer of blessing over your sister right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Stop you this morning. Give God what you got left today. Give God what you got left today. That's it. Come on, let a spirit of worship be in this house. Let a spirit of worship be in this house today. We love you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. We exalt you, Lord. Help somebody as we end today. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, and one that I feel that God wants me to end with today. The Bible says that if a shepherd has one of the 99 leave and go away, that he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one. And I want to tell someone today, he came back just for you. I feel it today. You hear me? He came just for you today to say you thought nobody was looking. You thought nobody knew. But the Lord said, I'm good at going after mine. I'm good at going after those who have left the fold. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but the Lord wants to restore some things in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul today. Prodigal son comes home. He's rejected. His view of God has changed. Hear me, somebody. His view of God has changed because he doesn't see the Father as somebody welcoming anymore. He sees him as maybe a hard man now. He says, if I can just be a servant in my Father's house, that's all I'm asking for. But he forgot who it was he was serving. And the Bible says when his father saw him afar off, he took off running down the road. I preached about it here several months ago in Jewish customs in those ancient times. If a man took off running, if he pulled his garment up to run, it was seen as not good, trashy. Only a poor man did stuff like that. But the God of glory said, you're worth making myself look foolish for today. He ran to where he was. He fell on the boy. He recouped him. And the boy began to spit out those things that he had learned when he was gone from God. God's a hard man. God don't love me. God doesn't want me anymore in his house. And he said, Father, I'm not even worthy to be your servant. And he said, my God, son, somebody bring me a fatted calf. Somebody give me a robe. Somebody give me a ring to put back on his finger. Let him know you're just as much as you were. What I'm going to tell somebody is this. If you leave on level A and you go down to level D and you're journeying from God, when you come back, you do not start over at D. God puts you right back where you left off at. That's how the Lord works. He does not make you play catch up. He catches you up in one service just like that. Don't let the devil fight you like that. He catches you up. Condemnation will beat you down, but glory will catch you up to where you need to be at today. Give God what you got. Turn to somebody and tell them. I want you to tell them in good old Northeast Texas, you're going to make it. That was weak. Good God, that was weak. Some of you scared. Look at them and tell them in the eye, you got what it takes. Now, some of you looked at your husband and wife and got more stern than that. Good God. Amen. You're going to be all right. Amen. Before we dismiss, one more announcement. I'm going to be done, so please hear me. There will be no Sunday evening service tonight. Okay? No Sunday evening service tonight. I debated this here a while back due to the holidays, things going on, and I made that decision a little too late, if you will, but there is no Sunday service tonight. Brother Randy already alluded to this. There's no midweek service this week. We have one service next Sunday. Brother Sterling Birchnell is going to be preaching for us next Sunday morning. It's going to be great here at 10 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. That's next Sunday, though. One service next Sunday, 10 o'clock. Please be here. We love you so much. God bless you in Jesus' name. Shake somebody's hand. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Okay.